Good morning. Will be Mr. Philip Reichert. Mr. Reichert is the program administrator for the Florida Department of Health's Hepatitis Prevention Program, located in Tallahassee. He has worked in the public health field in STD and HIV/AIDS prevention and control for nearly 30 years. He earned his bachelor's degree in communications from Florida State University and his master's degree in public health from the University of South Florida. So, Mr. Reichert.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Set that there. I wanted to talk a little bit about our 317 experience in Florida, but I want to talk a little bit about Florida real quickly. Just basically, for those of you who have never been there, it's a pretty big state. It's about almost 900 miles between Pensacola and Key West, 58,000 square miles, of which about 4,300 are swamp. If you've ever been there, it seems like a lot more of that is swamp and lakes. And we've got a large coastline, 67 counties, and more importantly, we have a lot of different populations and different types of populations in Florida that we work with. And how many have never been to Florida? Okay, please go, plan your next vacation there, spend money. Maybe then the legislature won't keep cutting our state budget. As opposed to a lot of states, our hepatitis prevention program, I actually have a staff, that's three of them in that picture. We have somebody that does surveillance, we've got somebody that does health education. It was very helpful to have a staff in implementing the 317 vaccine initiative in Florida. And just to give you a little idea about our funding, we do get our CDC funding for our adult viral hepatitis prevention coordinator, which is me. And we've been very lucky in Florida. We've had funding from the state government since the year 2000, actually the 1999 legislature. Just lately, last year, we've had to suffer a 4% budget cut. And the legislature is in session right now, and they're talking about up to another 15% budget cut. I'll talk a little bit about the 317 vaccine in a couple of minutes. We did get $1.1 million for 2009, and I'll show you how we were using it. With our general revenue state legislature money, we fund 15 counties out of our 67 to have dedicated hepatitis prevention programs. The rest of the money from the legislature goes towards laboratory. We do about $300,000 worth of tests every year, and I'll show you a little bit about that in just a minute. And we also buy hepatitis A, B, and then combination A, B vaccine, and do several other things with that money. Oh, I thought I'd throw in a few pictures just to entice you to Florida. We call this our hepatitis 09 program. We do A, B, and C testing through our state laboratory. We do offer hepatitis A and B vaccine, and we risk assess clients in all 67 counties. With our testing, we do that in our five state labs. We have been able to buy home access hepatitis C kits for outreach, but we probably won't be doing that in the future with the budget cuts. One of the kind of unintended good things about the 317 vaccine, I'll explain why in a minute, is that the number of the tests that we do in Florida for hepatitis, the panel tests, have gone up significantly. You can see from 05 to 08, we increased by almost 21,000, and that's 153% increase. And you can just see from 07 to 08, we went from about 25,000 to about 35,000 tests, which is pretty significant, because those are what's being done mostly in the health departments and mostly people who are at risk for STD and HIV. Possible reasons for increase in testing, of course, the 317 vaccine initiative, the offering testing before starting the vaccine. Health departments are already drawing blood for syphilis and HIV, so the clients consent to the HEP testing at the same time. Testing is easier than providing vaccine for health caregivers, and of course, a lot of health caregivers want to test and find out what the test results are before they find out if the client will benefit from hepatitis vaccine. Our risk assessments, like I said, all 67 counties, we risk assess clients in. We do follow 10 sentinel counties, however. We do case reporting and investigation, and we report that through our system called Merlin. And we have a Bureau of Epidemiology who follows up on outbreaks in Florida. And of course, we do education and information, like that's the, kind of the basic stuff that most states are able to do. We're lucky, we have a pretty good, pretty tight surveillance program, and we do compile A, B, and C, including chronic hepatitis C cases on a monthly basis, and it goes into a monthly surveillance report that comes out from Florida. Hollywood is not just in California. We do have one in Florida. our vaccine program, like I said, we do provide hepatitis A and B vaccine as well as AB combination vaccine through our program, and we have had all of those available for several years now, and we do have a field services coordinator who is accountable to all of that. Our 317 initiative, we were very lucky in 2007. We had access through our state immunization program to $400,000 worth of hepatitis B, and we're able to enhance our program by about 16,000 doses and enhance the delivery of these doses through our STD clinics and our health departments. In 2008, at the first year that the $20 million was available nationally, we were able to provide almost 26,000 doses of hepatitis B vaccine and about 3,800 doses of combination AB vaccine. And we expanded from just the health departments into to 9 county jails around the state. In 2009, we asked for $1.5 million, got $1.1 million. We were glad to get more vaccine than we had available the year before. And one of the things we did was we expanded. We kept the county jails, we kept the STD and HIV clinics, but we developed a relationship with the Florida Department of Corrections, with several substance abuse treatment facilities, a couple of community-based nonprofit organizations, and one university healthcare facility. Ooh. And just to show you what we've done in the last 3 years with hepatitis A vaccine, we have managed to increase the number of doses that we've given to people at high risk from 06 to 08. If you look at B, B actually went down from 07 to 08, but wait a minute, look at AB combo. We significantly increased that from 07 to 08 by 120%. That's a good thing because a lot of times a person will come into a health department and they'll be at risk for hepatitis A and B, and you know, obviously it's a lot easier to give one shot than it is to give two shots. If you look at the total vaccines given in 06, 07, and 08, you can see we did increase significantly each year, and we hope to significantly increase in 09 with the help of the 317 vaccine. And how did we promote it? In 07, we sent out a letter to all 67 county health departments, and as Dr. Ward talked about earlier, we tied it to the December 06 MMWR that was about the elimination of hepatitis B in adults. We did a survey later in that year to all the 67 counties, got 47 to respond, and 46 of the 47 had implemented hepatitis B vaccine. And it just really gave us an opportunity to go into health departments and kind of reinvigorate them about providing hepatitis vaccine to people at risk. In 2008, we did a memorandum of agreement, actually a couple of them, to cover the 9 county jails that we added. And we updated our letter to the county health departments through our Division of Disease Control Director. In 2009, we've got 6 memorandums of agreement with the entities that I just talked about, and we provide technical assistance calls, technical assistance emails. We're not really able to travel, but I guess if somebody called us up and said, please come down and help us, we might get permission to be able to do that. We provide regular collaboration with our STD and HIV programs and our county health departments. The HIV and the STD people are right in the same building with us, and we have a pretty good relationship with them, as well as the people in a lot of the major health departments around Florida. And we do have a contact list for hepatitis in each of the county health departments. See, there are a lot of beaches in Florida. We have a lot of coastline. And I wanted to say something about, we have a viral hepatitis council. For those of you who have worked with HIV and know about prevention community planning, basically this is our hepatitis community planning group. It was established in 04, and it's a really great partnership between the state and the community. We meet twice a year. We have been able to continue those meetings, fortunately. And they provide advice and guidance to the state hepatitis prevention program. And it was very helpful to go to them originally and talk about this 317 vaccine and talk about some of the best ways to get it out there and the best ways to promote it. And this group also helps us write our statewide plan, and the 317 vaccine has helped us to meet some of our goals in that plan. And thank you all for listening, and I appreciate it, and I guess I'll turn it back over to Gina.
So everyone's ready to travel to Florida now, huh? I'd like to thank all of our presenters this morning. They have done an outstanding job of giving us information and of keeping on time, such that we have time for some questions now. And I would like to open it up to the floor for anyone who has questions. But while people are coming up to the microphones, I want to ask one myself, and any or all of them can speak to this. As you went into some of the non-traditional settings, did you find that some of the challenges, some of the barriers were unique to the particular type of setting that you went into, be it for a setting for IV drug users, or did you find that some of the challenges were similar no matter what the setting? And anyone can respond.
Yeah, during the first year in 2007, when we had access to the 317 vaccine, and we brought the 9 county jails on board, in the end, there were only about 8 of them that were able to provide vaccine. The interesting thing is the people we worked with said, we want 75,000 doses of vaccine because we've got this many people and we're going to give all 3 doses to this many people in the next several months. And I said, I don't think you're probably going to have the capacity to be able to do that. Why don't we look at 25,000 doses and see what we can do with that? So I think they overthought what they were able to do with the staff and the resources that they were able to use. They just wanted to be able to provide the hepatitis B vaccine to clients or prisoners in the jails.
I guess we'll take the first question.
Hi, Kelly Smith, I was still calling, sorry, I'm at work. Frederick County, Maryland, in a local health department. But I was curious, I know we all give a lot of vaccines, and I know the information is in the amount of vaccines that we give, the injections. I was just wondering, I know we all run into the same problem. Do you have any kind of statistics as far as the completion of series? That's a problem. Do you get them all back? How many do you get back? How many? It's a problem. You get one, you don't see the person. You get the second one, do they ever come back? And then they're lost to tracking. And that's for the whole panel, I know.
Anyone?
Yeah. It's a great question. We're actually looking at that. We just don't have that data available yet. And it's a little hard to track down. But that's what we're looking at. And we have great beaches in North Carolina, too.
Actually, I was born in North Carolina. Let's see.
Completion. Series completion.
Oh, series completion, yeah. Usually, whenever we've looked at that, obviously, you get 100% for the first shot, hepatitis B, then you get about 50% for the second shot and about 30% for the third shot in almost all the research that I've looked at. And that's pretty typical. In jails and prisons, you've got a little bit better shot at it. In jails, we're trying a couple of projects in Florida where we're using the combination vaccine and doing the accelerated dosage, the 0, 1 week, and 3 weeks, and then hope to refer them for the 1 year booster dosage. But yes, that's a very serious problem. It's very difficult. We can call them. We can remind them by mail. We can give them information when they get their first shot that, yes, you have to come back in a month and 6 months. It doesn't always happen. And I wish we had a single dose vaccine.
Let me just say that I think the goal should be a completion of the series as recommended. You know, people do respond to the first dose. The majority of people, over 75%, will have a positive antibody response above the level that's considered to be protective after two doses. The third dose can be given at any time after the second dose. It really acts like a booster and to get you up to the 90-95% of what's usually expected after the series. So we should continue to strive for the full dose completion, but you know, and if you don't let those concerns about not being able to complete it not to keep you from doing something to get those first two doses into people's arms.
Next.
Yes, I had a question. I'm Carly Shurtliff from Utah. I had a question about the funding and the resources for testing. Just to open to anyone, in particularly the less traditional sites, walk-in clinics, do you have any idea how many of those people in your pool of vaccinees are getting tested for hepatitis B? And where are the funds and the availability for that testing coming from in those sites?
I don't have an idea about the numbers. but the testing is done at our state lab, and they're funded. So we do provide a one position to there through our 317 and state money to help to help to support that.
Do you test for B and C or just for C?
Both.
No. Excuse me. In California, we've... as far as I know, in the participating sites that we've enrolled, we're not hearing a lot of testing being done. But in API settings, they are, especially San Francisco County and City, they are garnering their own funding to do screening and testing because it's recommended for APIs. But in terms of the high-risk settings, we're just giving the vaccine.
And in Florida, actually at one slightly non-traditional site, we've got a community-based nonprofit organization in the Miami area who does a lot of testing, and we've just got an agreement with them. They do the testing through the state laboratory at the rate of $10 per test, which we've come to find out that, and they actually pay for that, which we've come to find out from the state lab really doesn't cover the cost, but they try to cover it with Medicaid, billing Medicaid and other things.
From on my right here.
Okay, good morning. Again, it was a fantastic presentation. Gene Robert Jeffroy from Arizona. How exactly do you win over the local health department that didn't participate in the first year to join in the second year? And the second question is mostly to the people that are in the STD clinic or the HIV clinic, how do you convince them to have staff to participate in the vaccination or the screening process?
How do we convince people to do that? Well, we know out of 67 counties in Florida, not all of them do this. And some of them go kicking and screaming, and they know that we're not providing any money for the infrastructure, you know, to other than just the vaccine and the fact that they can offer testing. We do have 15 funded counties, however, and we kind of tell them, well, you're getting funds from us, you probably should be doing this. So at least we get some of the larger counties, the larger population counties, and some of the middle-sized and smaller ones also to do that. I don't think we're ever gonna get everybody to participate exactly the way we want to. One of the problems we have, or one of the real challenges, is change of staff. You know, when somebody new comes in and nobody really gives them the information about what was going on before, then you suddenly realize that, oops, they're not providing vaccine this month, or oops, they're not testing this month. But we're not so concerned about some of the smaller places with the lower morbidity. With the bigger places, I think we're doing a pretty good job.
Thank you.
Hi, Kathy Root from Livingston County, upstate New York. My question is, we've been giving the Hep B vaccine a long time in upstate New York to children. So we're running into a population where we know the young adults have been vaccinated against Hep B, and they present at a reproductive health clinic or an STD clinic. And, you know, we debate whether to give them the twin recs, which we know they probably have had the Hep B, but typically they don't have their immunization records. What do you do in your counties or states?
The question is, if what do we do if they don't have a vaccination record, even though you think we vaccinate?
You give them the twin recs or Hep A?
We give the combination vaccine.
Okay, thank you.
I was just going to say, in Florida, we pretty much do the same thing. I mean, if we don't know, my feeling is if somebody walks into a health department and they're at risk for an STD or HIV or hepatitis B, we try to give them as many services as we can while we've got them there. And if they don't know, then we can always test them and then vaccinate later. But a lot of times they'll go ahead and do a test, the panel test, and they'll start the first vaccine.
Peggy Howe from Oklahoma. I wondered if you had any family practice physicians that got part of your money to give the hepatitis B to young girls that came in that were screened for STD in their normal, woman check, so that they had the opportunity to get the hepatitis B vaccine through any of these programs, just through a regular family practice physician or OBGYN physician's office, where you would see a lot of those women, 19 to 26, let's say, that don't have insurance.
If you're enrolled in our program, a family physician certainly can order the vaccines and the combination. We encourage that. We encourage the combination vaccine. The OBGYN, that's one of our, I think, newer challenges. We really want to enroll them in the program, and we allow them in if they call. We'd like to recruit, but once we start doing that, we could double our enrolled providers, but there are a lot of requirements from CDC, site visits for one. So I think that presents a real challenge for us, but we would provide it, you know, for them. We have to figure out a way we can actually do our VFC accountability visits and that sort of thing without additional infrastructure money.
Well, we're starting to try to educate them with that HPV vaccine, so they're getting a little bit used to vaccines.
Yeah, the question is, I'd like to roll in your program so we can give HPV vaccine. And so there's a bit of education, you know, around, you know, the other vaccines that are available for adolescents, and that's a challenge as well.
My other question, I'm sorry, just my last one is, did all of you have registries so that you could track these people?
We have registries, but that was one of the barriers in some of the non-traditional sites. You know, we just weren't able to do that. I mean, there are lots of challenges, I think, to work through those situations where the people are at highest risk. Refrigerators, I mean, storage and handling, reporting, you know, and they reported on paper forms. And actually, you know, I can think of one site that we wouldn't allow to participate any longer because the reporting was just not there. And we knew we needed accountability. I mean, we were using the 317 funds and state funds and some funds from our HIV STD program. And, you know, we had have that accountability there. Mm-hmm. So we'd like to see registries up in those areas, but that's pretty much a challenge for us.
Yeah, for California as well, reporting is a big burden, especially a lot of the sites are also reporting on paper formats. The registry in California is regional. We have several regional registries, and although we're in the process of consolidating it as a state registry, but the use of registry is voluntary, and I personally think that voluntary reporting is not doing us much good, and if we were to continue with this reporting effort, I would recommend having some key elements in the data that we absolutely need and make it a requirement for the participating sites. But some of the jail sites are entering their data into the registry, and we think it's helpful that, especially for jail and people in prison, when they go out in the community, then providers can keep track of that. But that's a small number of sites.
And in Florida, we have a thing called Florida Shots. It's run by our state immunization program. And as part of our memorandums of agreement with the entities that are providing the 317 vaccine, they have to report into Florida Shots.
Good. Thank you.
I just want to comment on the fact that North Carolina and Florida both mentioned how they were providing testing as well as vaccination and really taking a more, you know, real comprehensive approach to viral hepatitis prevention, because as we try to prevent infection, you know, we are also concerned about this 4.5 million persons living with hepatitis B or hepatitis C, who, many of whom who don't yet know their status. And so we just recently put out guidelines sort of defining who should be tested for chronic hepatitis B. Those came out in the MMWR in September of 2008. And then we have longstanding recommendations as to who should be tested for hepatitis C. So, you know, I think it's great that you're offering both testing and vaccination. Thank you.
All right, I'm going to read the obligatory housekeeping announcements. Stop by the CE room in the Lone Star Ballroom A3 to apply for continuing education credits or to request a certificate of attendance. Conference staff is available until 1 p.m. today to help you with your CE application. You can also apply for CE credit over the internet after the conference. Visit the CE room for more information. The next session will begin promptly at 10:30 following a short break. See pages 32 and 33 of your agenda book for detailed information about offerings during this session. Please don't forget to complete and submit your conference evaluation form. You'll find it behind the last tab in your agenda book. Thank you and enjoy the rest of your conference. And I would like to have a round of applause for our presenters today. They were fantastic.